Here's Hashem. We're learning the Pelayoyitz today, Here's Hashem. Yeah? So now we're holding like this. We're holding, you said such an idea, such a concept of a person goes into a Bikzak Knesses, has to have the proper attitude, the proper kavana, and the proper healthy response towards what does it mean that a place is a Makom Kadosh Vanar, page 49 in the Pelayoyitz, starting from the paragraph, Ve'yeh Sheroitz Elizar, Sheloy Ledabra Bikzak Knesses, Elke Shemadabra Me'elav Acherim, Nirolai Kibusho Kiyura, Sheloy Hashiv Eloy Mashiach Medabra Bikzak Knesses. There is such an akuda that people are very makbid not to speak in a Beis HaKnesses. And there are some who are those who maybe they're a little bit concerned that if people, if they take on such akpada, they're going to look a little bit like a balgaiva. That if someone would then say hello or try to talk to them, shmooze with them, and they would go like, it would almost look like they're looking, they're better than everybody else, right? They're a little bit uncomfortable.
Is there a difference between a Beis Medrash and a Shul?
There is a difference in a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaKnesses is, let's just define the terms, a Beis HaKnesses is a place which is primarily meant for davening. What gives the place the Makom Kedusha is the fact that there's a Sefer Torah there, the fact that there's a Makom Tefillah there, that of things of that nature. And therefore it is a higher level of, well, I would say a higher level of Kedusha, but a specific level of Kedusha, I want to explain the point, a specifically defined level of Kedusha that you're not allowed to, say, for example, eat, do things which are not specifically related and focused towards davening. Eating, sleeping, and things of that nature are not allowed in a Beis HaKnesses. In a Beis HaMedrash, where primarily it is a place to learn, you don't necessarily have a Sefer Torah. This is a Beis HaMedrash. Although it doesn't have a Sefer Torah, it derives its Kedusha from the fact that we sit and learn here. However, though, the Gemara tells us that as much as it's a holier place, because obviously Torah is mamash amazing, and the fact that Limud HaTorah is the best, nonetheless, it has a lesser level of Kedusha to the extent that it allows us to be able to sleep here, like Meir, to be able to eat here, like Yitzchak, right? To be able to Baruch Hashem, to be able to be involved in day-to-day, let's say normal day-to-day activities, which although are not allowed in the Beis HaKnesses, are allowed in the Beis HaMedrash, because why? Because this is ki beisu, right? Because this is our home. Right, the Beis HaMedrash is the home of a Talmid Chacham, and just like at home, similar to a sukkah idea, just like at home, you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to sleep. So too, in the Beis HaMedrash, you're allowed to eat and you're allowed to sleep.
Let's see the koil downstairs. No, it's also for anyone to eat.
Because it has both elements of Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, then it's allowed to eat and allowed to sleep there. It's only when you have like certain synagogues, certain shuls that have like they have the main sanctuary, and then they have on the side like the Beis HaMedrash, they call it the study hall, whatever it would be. There's some fancy types of shuls like that.
I'm saying, but let's say they have a shul that's it's a Shabbos shul, it's a shul. Right? And then they make the kiddush inside the shul.
Again, it depends what is the makom of the Beis HaMedrash. If it's a place which is purely only for davening, if you have like some shuls in America, there's something like, for example, like Young Israel of Englewood, New Jersey. That sanctuary, there's no tables there, there's no places to like hold the sefer. It is it's a seat and a bench, and they have sidur. As opposed to on the side of the sanctuary, that's their study hall, that's their, maybe they have downstairs, what do they have? They have a social hall. So by definition, they've already, in a sense, put aside those things. So it would theoretically not be allowed to have it. Now, yeah, I want to give full focus. What's wrong with giving a daf yom yishir in the main Beis HaMedrash?
Meaning, so then there's learning, meaning daf, but the study halls are
happens to be learning there. It's that the place is set aside and designated as a place for learning. A Beis HaMedrash is defined as a place which is designated for a place of learning. And therefore, says the Pelayoyitz, in a Beis HaKnesses, where people are makbid not to speak, yes.
We have a Beis HaMedrash today.
I would say the opposite. I would say, do we have a Beis HaKnesses today? The answer is Yerushalayim. It's very rare to find a Beis HaKnesses. That's what you meant, right? Do we have? We have it. There are certain shuls that are just specifically. I would say like the great synagogue in Jerusalem, right? What do you call it? The great synagogue there? That is not a Beis HaMedrash. It's not a Beis HaMedrash. Again, it's not a zilzul. It's not a disrespect. It's just that it's not a place where people come to sit and open a Gemara and sit and learn. Where are they going to do that? They're going to do it in the side room. They're going to do it in one of the classrooms. They're going to do it downstairs. But they're certainly not going to do it there. Okay? Of course, you're allowed to learn. You're allowed to learn whatever you want. But it's not a place which is designated for that specific purpose.
So it's not a matter of if somebody does wind up sitting and learning there, they give a shiur there.
Yeah.
You still eat there and do other things. It was designated.
Once it's been designated. So again, downstairs, of course, has a Sefer Torah. It's a main Beis HaMedrash, right?
You can't eat there. You can't.
No, downstairs is a shul in the sense that they daven there, but they also learn there throughout the entire week. It's both a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses. Right, I'm saying if you have these old school
Downstairs, it's like continuous minyan. Most people.
Where? In the Grushul and by Vagan?
Most people. Look, upstairs, there's much learning going on. But downstairs, where there's minyan after minyan, it's not so common people will sit there like and learn with someone.
I don't know. It's a good question because the Kashtibu, it's very, very high. I'm not exactly sure how to define it. I don't know. It's a good question. It's a matter of designation. The question is, when the people that made it, they designated that there are certain places. I know in social, like for example, Malei Adumim, there's a shul there where it's closed all day except for when they daven. That clearly, by definition, means that they're designated only as a place of tefillah. Maybe mitamol every so often they'll have a shir between mincha ma'ariv, but other than that, it's not a base medrash. If the culture doesn't lend itself towards a place which they're learning.
In a place where we only daven,
it would not be permitted to eat in the Beis HaKnesses. You have to only allowed to eat, the Torah only allows to eat in the Beis HaKnesses. Beis HaMedrash. What?
These days it's common for people to do so.
But nowadays, because again, I think that the lines have been blurred between the Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. There are many, you have to go throughout history. But a shul was considered a shul, and they had a Beis HaMedrash. And they sometimes didn't mix the two. Can you eat in a Beis HaKnesses if you learn there? I mean, if you personally decided that you set aside this place, you don't have that ability to. It's a Rishus HaRabim. Yeah, but you as a random guy walks into a shul and says, you know what? The young Israel of blah, 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 of Midwood, I don't know what the shul situation is. I decided that even though this is a sanctuary and they have a social hall and they have a study hall and they have a base measure, I decided that making this shul into my base. No, it doesn't work like that.
This is, you said you can learn the best process. I'm asking why you're learning. Can you nibble on something like that?
No, it's not a place which is allowed to eat.
But you can't eat when you're learning.
Because the heter is not the fact that you're learning. The heter is it's base measures which allows you to be able to make yourself at home.
But can you, let's say for example, it's one of those places where the lines are blurred and you're already davening mincha. You're here for Sukkot Seder and they're davening mincha. Are you allowed to eat while they daven mincha?
Again, if it's a place which is blurred, in a sense, let's say for example, a chassidish shtibul is a very good example of this exact point, which is, by the way, historically where these lines started blurring, when they started getting these, like, again, among the Ashkenazim, they used to have this thing called a kloiz, or a base, we call it base medrash. These were little areas, little tiny places where people would go to learn. And then they would go to the main sanctuary, the main shul in the community, that's where they go to daven. And what became blurred is when you have the Rebbe who is both davening by the Rebbe and also learning by the Rebbe, then it became a thing where it's just like you can have kugel in the middle of Mosef. You know, like that's basically, you know, there's certain places in Tanezhia that they have like that. Okay, anyway.
During
the davening, you should not be eating. No,
but it's not you're not davening with them. I'm not dominating.
You're allowed to eat. If you're allowed to eat, if it's a place where you're allowed to eat, you're allowed to eat. The fact that other people are davening.
I'm wondering that is your eating, even though it's a blurred line, is that a bizayin to the tefillah?
There's ways of doing it that are not bizayin, there's ways of doing it that are bizayin. I'll leave that with you to ponder. Okay. And therefore, getting back to Pelyoitz, such a person who doesn't want to respond is concerned that it's going to look like Yura, it's going to look like Gaiva. What's going to happen? He's like, I don't want to be the only frumi that doesn't respond, that doesn't talk. So fine, you know, I'll respond, but like Bakoshi. Like nobody wants to be the one weirdo that is being makbid. Like for example, this happens all the time during shul. When? Between aliyahs and kriyas haTorah. Halacha, api halacha, it is usher to speak between aliyahs. Did you know that? Even the Divrei Torah that says the Shulchan Aruch. Why?
During the
Mishaberachs, during the brachas, during everything. Doesn't make any difference. You're not allowed to. No, you're allowed to learn Torah, but you're not allowed to talk in Torah to someone else or to be talking out. Why? What's the issue? What's the concern? Because asi lemshucha, you may come to end up talking through the actual Kriyas Torah, which is, by the way, you see it's true all the time. It starts off just in between the brachas, and then it starts off. Then you start talking through the brachas until eventually you're talking through the Kriyas HaTorah. It's aser minat. It is aser. It is inappropriate and it's a bizayin to the davening. And therefore, he's saying a very, very strong point over here. We succumb too much to frum or anti-frum peer pressure. There's so many anti-frum peer pressure. Api halacha, you're really not allowed to talk when you have your tefillin on. You're not allowed to eat when you have your tefillin on.
You're not allowed to say things like that.
Things that are not letzorich, things that are not davish b'kedusha, you're not allowed to. Right, you're not allowed to.
I thought the issue is needing the bathroom, not eating.
What? The issue is doing dvarim shel chol, meaning things which are mundane is inappropriate when you're wearing tefillin. You should be talking non-divertari matters, because why api halacha when you're wearing your tefillin, you have to have constant recognition that you're wearing tefillin. So how could you do other things that are going to lead you to then having hesech hadas when you're wearing your tefillin? What's the problem? The problem is we succumb to the anti from peer pressure. I don't be the only one. I don't be the only weirdo. I don't be the only frummy. They're gonna think I'm better than them. Says the Vilna Gaon. You know, he says Bizman Azeh, the Isser of Yohara doesn't apply. The Vilna Gaon held the Isser of Yohara of looking like too religious, too frum, doesn't apply Bizman Azeh. It's very interesting. He said. Why? This is Adarabba. Bizman Azeh, if you're putting on tefillin, maybe other people will put on tefillin too. He says it's specifically about wearing tefillin all day. Okay, what's the idea? The idea is that you're going to think you're too religious, you're so frum, everyone's going to think you're better than them.
You're going to think you're
Gaivadik. Says the Vilna Gaon, this concept does not apply Bizman Azeh. The idea of thinking other people will think you're about Gaiva. Again, it's a Das Yachir, yeah, you have to know. But what's the idea? The Nakuda being, that at the end of the day, it leads to a more religious, happier environment. And not the rabbi. We want people to feel more comfortable to keep Torah, not less comfortable to keep Torah.
When I was just becoming observant, I was only like observant for a couple of years.
Yeah.
I was in a place in Brooklyn, and I saw guys that were in the big mess and that were talking while they had the film on like sports and stuff.
Right.
And I remember saying that, I don't think you're allowed to speak, mundane things.
But you give them Musar.
I said it.
Okay.
And they didn't hear it all.
I am shocked. I'm thank God I'm sitting because I'm shocked at the idea that you gave a bunch of guys who are talking sports while they're wearing tefillin muster. They have guys that you have no idea who they are and they didn't like it. I'm flabber
shibaglasted. According to what you just said right now.
Right.
Then what's
it is still the same thing. I don't suggest it. I'm talking about for you and you're within yourself. No, you should not be going around. No, being a Balgaiva does not mean externally going around to other people telling them what to do. It's that you do what you need to do and don't worry about what other people think about you. Yeah, don't think externally. Yeah, well, that's the way life works. You can't look at other people, what they're doing, what they're doing.
If I
could go back,
I would say it much different. I would say it.
I think.
That's what you would say. When I'm wearing tefillin, what am I allowed to talk about? What am I allowed? I would say something.
No, they're not your Tati. They say, Tati, didn't you teach yourself? No, you just they're not. Again, this may come a shock to you, but you don't know them, and if they don't know you and you don't know them, there's no relationship. They're not going to take it. Yeah, you're lucky they didn't gang, beat up on you. Like,
no, it wasn't like that.
Yeah, listen, I'm joking, but at the end of the day, it's worthwhile not to give people moser. Okay, so you have to know. A guy like Nassim's going to punch you in the face. Now, is Nassim right? Nassim's wrong, and he should not be punching people in the face. He can be wrong, and you can be wrong, and you can be both right at the same time. That you're completely right and that you're wrong, and that you're right and that you're wrong. What's the idea? Who it is? Everybody has to think internally versus externally. If somebody's responding externally, punching in the face, you don't know. You don't know where I'm holding. You don't know my problems. You don't know my mommy issues. Or my daddy's issues. Okay, you're also stupid. You know what I mean? And if you're the type of person, be like, yeah, but I'm trying to make the world a better place. Like, no, you're actually making the place a worse place because you're making this world very uncomfortable. That everybody else is so on each other rather than working on themselves. Which the only actual way that life changes is when you only work on yourself. I know that it's not like as geschmack and as cool as like the idea of going around and beating people up. But no, it's not. It doesn't work.
The truth is you can only change yourself.
What?
The truth is really you can only change yourself.
You know, it's like you're saying good. Your mom's saying good. Finally, I'm happy you guys saw the light in this conversation. Okay, and therefore, such a person who does truly fear God, a person should really, really instill in themselves the idea that no, I'm not going to give up my values and my principles because the idea of like, I just don't want to look stupid. That I should be embarrassed by other people. Say it with full, put your chest out there, put your shoulders back and say, I am not a shul talker. I don't talk a shul. You know, my father-in-law, he's a very special person. But when I was going out, before I went out with my wife, someone told me, I looked into my wife for references, and somebody said, don't get involved. Don't get involved. Stay far away. Her father is a Baal Machlekes. This is what they said about me. This is said about my father-in-law. So I'm like, what does that mean? Like, I can't say it's Lashon Hara. I'm like, what? I do more phone calls. I make more phone calls because everything else sounds really amazing. And it turns out, her father is the Shul Shusher. Her father is the Shul Shusher. I said, Adarabba, I want a daughter like that, a father-in-law like that. Adarabba. Baruch Hashem, that's what it was. That was the issue. He's a Shul Shusher. He's the most beloved person in the shul. Everybody loves him tremendously. Are you kidding me? He's a Daf Yomi Shusher. People chalish over. He's one of the most beloved people there. You're right. The people that don't like being Shul Shusher, they don't like him. Do I like those people? No, I don't like them. So Adarabba, the people that I want to be involved with are the people that don't talk in shul. So the person says, Ich bin I'm not a shul talker. I don't talk in shul. Ain't even that Knesset. Says, I just want to finish the point. Shari said, "Doim la misha roitzim la abi mimenu hoyin osik la hargoy." Shul yachash lavusha v'yashlam davar v'yachash miflat loy. That person is going to be so embarrassed that somebody else is going to say, "Ah, you don't talk in shul. What do you mean? You're going to be like one of those weirdos that don't talk in shul?" Yeah, I don't talk in shul. Exactly. I don't talk in shul. I have my priorities straight. Such a person, for sure, all the more so, should worry about his own nefesh and the respect for God. A person should never ever be over in avera or not to be a mitzvah because of simple the fact that listen, Abelis, I like you tremendously. I could care two licks about your opinion whether I'm doing right or wrong because it doesn't make a difference to me in Shamayim. The fact that you think I'm being weird about this, being weird about that, what do I care what your opinion is? You're Gevaldik Yid. I'm just using Yistam as a Moshav Alma. But what are you? Who are you? You're nobody. You're somebody, by the way. I love you tremendously. But you're nobody. But that's what you have to think in your brain. You're like, this guy's a nobody. Not because Chas V'Shalom is a nobody. Maybe he's a somebody. But in order for the principle, for the priority of that, what you need at the end of the day, you can't get stuck on those points. You're amazing. Yes, you have a question. We're going to end off on this last question.
Oh no. I mean, even during
lady.
Right.
You have a voice.
Talking,
I'm scared to know what you did. I'm scared to know what you did.
So I was sitting at a table, and I'm like, I can't hear.
Right.
Can you stop talking for a minute?
Oh, that's allowed. You're allowed to ask if you want to hear.
Can I get clobbered for that? Then get up.
Yeah.
So,
that's right.
Is that also
Gaiva? No, that's not Gaiva. I don't think we were Gaiva even in the first case. I don't think it was Gaiva. That you suggested in the discussion of Gaiva. I think you're right and allowed to ask that you should be able to hear the Kriya Sotara. I think that's totally understandable. More like going around to other people that are nothing to do with you, they're not bothering you, so about what they're doing with themselves. Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, Yitzchak, we love you, we care about you. You're not about Gaiva. Adar Abba, Halavai, Ashida, a little stick more Gaiva. But in the meantime, Mirza Hashem Yisbarach. Everyone should shtag in this nakuda of don't care what Yanam thinks. Again, it's a very fine line because, of course, you have to care about what a lot of people think and you have to comport your attitude and your values and your actions toward other people. If you're doing something that's annoying, you should think and have the self-awareness to say, wait a minute, maybe I should take into account what the other person's saying. If it's a mitzvah, again, there's a fine line. If you're bothering people when it comes to... For example, I'll tell you one last mitzvah. You saw Salanter. Very famously, he said this mashal. There's a guy, he's holding up his talis, and he's thinking about all the kavanas of the Arizal, and the Shlach Kodesh, and the Ramak, and all the Misak, and Kol Olamas, before putting on his talis, he put on the Shem Yichud, he went to the mikveh 4 or 5 times this morning, he put on his gartel very, very well. Again, there's nothing to do against Chassidim. Anyway, he puts on the talis, and as he wraps around his talis, he slaps the guy behind him in the face with the strings. Zokta Behel Grub Sel Salanter, the mitzvah means nothing in Shamayim. Nothing. The fact that you want to do Torah mitzvah is beautiful. You have every single kavanah l'Hashem Shamayim. But if you're bothering and hurting somebody else through your mitzvah on the back of somebody else, this Heshesh commits. It's not called a mitzvah. And it's a very fine line because of Chas V'Shalom and me to take away my mitzvah. Yeah, I meant it. You could have all those discussions. But the principle has to be, am I being respectful towards Zulasoy? Am I being mechabed the Tzel Melekim that's next to me? If I can't be mechabed the Tzel Melekim that's next to me, how can I be mechabed the Elohim if I can't be mechabed the Tzel Melekim? It's worthwhile to think about. Hatzlacha.